Good evening and welcome back to the Viking Psychology. Join me on a profound odyssey for the Viking Psychology as we unravel the layers of the good guy mentality, exploring its profound impact on warriors and soldiers, transcending the battlefield to influence the broader fabric of life. So this will be my last episode of 2023, and I'd like to thank everybody for hanging out. All the guests that I've had join, mainly Eric and Rob. Next year, I'm hoping to have a few more guests and have a lot more fun. So stick with me as this starts. Hey, warriors. Today's journey is all about redefining what it means to be a good guy versus a nice guy. It's not just a label. It's a deep exploration into the virtues that define strength and character. Now, speaking from a warrior's perspective, as most of you know that I'm in the military, let's ponder why embracing the good guy mindset is crucial, especially for all of our soldiers out there and veterans. It's more than, like I said, it's more than just a label. It's about embodying the qualities that shape an effectiveness and trust and a lasting legacy, which most of us are looking for. Not a lot of people join the military for the money, because I'm telling you right now, there's not much money in there. But a lot of us do join it for a sense of purpose, a sense of pride, a sense of belonging, which is a legacy. Right? So think about it. Like, we need to combine integrity, courage, a strong moral compass. They aren't just qualities. They're tactical advantages. That's what I like to see. It's a tactical advantage having integrity, courage, and a strong moral compass. They're what make warriors effective, enabling us to make the tough decisions in the heat of battle. Right? It's what differentiates us from, you know, I'm not even gonna say it. we'll just carry on from there. But I'm pretty sure everybody that's been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a fine line that we're not allowed to cross. But it's different than what the normal, and I will use the word normal person has to deal with on a daily basis. You know, for instance, I remember when, I don't know how to put this, there was an incident, or a situation, when I was overseas, where we came across a camp of wanderers. They weren't locals, but they were in trouble. Now, our ROE said that these people were outside of our jurisdiction. I'll say it like that. They were not our problem. But, sorry, my boss, he couldn't just stand by and watch as normal people were hurt. So he had us assist them, and it worked out in their favor. The aggressors in the situation quickly realized that they no longer had the advantage, and they swiftly moved on. And this is just to highlight integrity and moral strength. Right? It played a pivotal role in changing the situation. And it can in combat situations, it can in even day-to-day life. Right? We need to be able to take the moral high ground. You need to be able to go home at night and lay your head down and know that what you did was the right thing. That you can say your integrity is intact. Right? It's moments like this that define a warrior's character. And the biggest thing, it's your effectiveness. Are you an effective, efficient soldier? Can you call yourself that if you don't have that moral strength to take the higher road, to help those that need help, to maybe even put yourself, I won't say in jeopardy, because we weren't in jeopardy, but my boss did get in trouble, did end up having to do other stuff that wasn't the funnest, but like he told the rest of us, he knew he did the right thing. So part of the good guy versus the nice guy, right? Like the good guy was like my boss. That's all I'm going to call him, my boss. He was a good guy. He wasn't a nice guy. Because I'll tell you this much, when those aggressors found out about how not nice he was, they definitely chose the right path to diddy mow. But he didn't allow somebody to tell him he wasn't allowed to help somebody who needed his help. He didn't allow being nice to stop him. Right? Because being nice wouldn't have helped those people. Being nice would have been calling the authorities or passing it off to somebody else. And anybody that knows who served overseas, those countries that are in turmoil, their authorities are sometimes part of the problem. Sometimes they're not well equipped, and sometimes they're just not in the area. And now you got to remember, there is a powerful ripple effect. Maintaining integrity fosters trust and camaraderie among fellow troops. So it's not a ripple effect that's bad. Right, everybody hears the word ripple effect. That's why I started it kind of like that. Is they think, oh no, we're causing waves. This is going to be a problem. But no, it's a ripple effect that just makes you better. It's a bond that enhances teamwork and leads to a better mission outcomes. Because if your troops, your subordinates, your family members, your co-workers know that you have that integrity and that moral high ground to be that good guy, you're going to fight for them. You're going to fight for those you care about. You're going to fight for those that work for you. You're going to make sure you're always looking out for their best interest. Then your people will follow you, and they'll tell other people, and more people will follow you. It grows from there, and that's the ripple effect or the butterfly effect or whatever you want to call it. We've all witnessed how strong a sense of trust among soldiers builds, and it builds an unbreakable unit. Man, I remember going to the field, like, so just an exercise, and it was 8 weeks in probably the worst terrain that Canada has to offer. It's swamps on top of hills, raining every day. It was disgusting. You know, tempers got short. People got hurt. It was miserable. But we all bonded together. So the moment we got out of that field, not one of us hesitated to all go out for a drink together. Dirty, smelling, still had campaign, like, jammed in the crooks of our eyes, and we're still in our uniforms that we'd been wearing for over a week. But we'd create that unbreakable bond, and we knew after that no matter where we'd be sent or what we'd be doing, we would have each other's back, because we had that shared hardship, we had that embrace the suck. Now I can only talk about my experiences. I can only talk about what I think and what I feel, or how I think and how I feel. So I'm hoping some of this will translate to those who aren't in the military. It's not about just being in the military or a policeman or a firefighter or a paramedic. Trauma bonding, shared hardship, that goes everywhere. You know, there's a lot of people that work in high-risk jobs and construction, high-rise construction, that work in that hospitals, anywhere where a group of people have to count on each other to get through the weeks, the days, and the years. You get these bonds. And you know who I'm talking about. You know I might be talking about you. You know, you might be so frustrated at that coworker all week, but then Friday comes and you all get invited out to go for supper and you don't even hesitate but to say yes. And you might not even know why. You're like, oh, you know, I had things to do, but I'm going. And part of that is you have made that bond. Now, staying true to values, even in the toughest situations, it's a hard thing to do, right? Taking that moral high ground. That's the antidote or the epitome of a warrior's character. That's the bottom line. It's about upholding what's right, even when the odds are stacked against you. You have to keep that moral high ground. Because if you're there to protect, you're there to control, or you're there to be that buffer zone between those who can't fight or those who are relying on you, you can't stop. Once you've chose and you've taken that high ground, you now need to uphold that moral high ground. So I keep thinking about the principles of the moral high ground, those moral sound decisions. I'm trying to just to pinpoint one of my examples, one of those experiences I had where I had to make that moral sound decision. Like there was one time when I was a certain general's driver, and everybody knows if you're in charge, you're a general, you're a boss, you're a CEO, just like that Undercover Boss show. Nobody tells you the truth. They never tell you the truth. Why would they tell you the truth? They're risking their job. Or you're going to look to them for how do you fix it? What's the solution? Right? Don't bring me a problem. Bring me a solution. So a lot of times it's just easier to, nothing's wrong. Everything's great. I love this place. Esprit de corps. But some people who have strong integrity and great moral compasses, they want to know the truth. So we had this general, and he decided he was going to take my gear, my tac vest, my helmet, my epaulet, so my rank, and he was going to disappear. Now, he wasn't going to order me to do this. He left it up to me. And he explained to me why he wanted to do it. Now, I could follow the rules and said no, because my butt was kind of on the line too. His aide definitely was not going to like this. But instead, I wanted to help this man understand what he was doing, what he was leading. You know, where the shortcomings were, because he would learn that by going out and meeting the other members. So I gave him my stuff and he went out and we lost him for a couple days. But when he rejoined us and his aide stopped having a heart attack, he was grateful. He learned a lot. He got to see some of the failures of our equipment. He got to actually see some of the failures in our leadership. And actually, on that workup training, he removed two captains from the tour because, to him, they weren't ready to lead troops overseas. They were, I'm going to say this nicely, they were dangerous. They were not good at their jobs. So he removed them because people were talking about them. He went, he saw it firsthand. Now, are we going to have leaders like that all the time? No. But for me, that was a morally sound decision. I knew he was right. I knew that was the only way he was going to see what we were all talking about. You see, embodying these virtues isn't just about the battlefield. It's about inspiring leadership and leaving behind a legacy. Now this man, this general, did leave behind a legacy with me. He taught me the truth to power And sometimes you have to go and find what you're looking for. You can't let people bring it to you because people will lie. And it's not that they're lying to be deceitful. They're lying to protect themselves. They're lying to protect their jobs. And sometimes they're lying just to get themselves out of work. Now, I'm not going to use his name, but leaders like that, inspirational leaders, their lasting legacy will be forever. Because look at it right now. I'm talking to you guys about him, what he showed me, the lengths he went to figure out what was right. And how do I put this? The real world applications of being the nice guy is you'll never, and I'm saying the nice guy, you'll never have to face the hardships of being the good guy. Because being the good guy isn't easy. Being the nice guy follows the rules, does what he's told, never makes a splash, never takes a risk, never does anything he's not supposed to. Doesn't make you a better person. It actually makes you not less of a person, but it makes you weak. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be nice, but no. Being the nice guy is being the weak guy. People aren't going to count on you. People aren't going to stand up for you because it's a one-sided thing. You're never going to stand up for them. Because that takes a good guy. You know, I saw on Instagram, an LL Cool J interview with this on this topic. And he said, you know, nice guy versus good guy. A woman gets her purse snatched and pushed to the ground. The nice guy goes, helps her out, tells her, you know, it could have been worse. The good guy goes, chases down the crook, breaks his arm, throws him into the ditch, and gives her back her purse. I thought it was interesting because it's true. Was the good guy nice? No. No, gosh, no. Yeah. He was the evil we needed at that moment. But the good guy protected. The nice guy accepted. And that's part of the problem we're having in the world today. We have a lot of people accepting the situation for what it is. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to fight. They're not willing to stand up. They're not willing to say enough is enough. They're not willing to protect their own. Because we always get told where we live is so wonderful. It's so nice. It's so perfect. You could be somewhere else. And they're right. We could be somewhere else. But that doesn't give us the right not to stand up for what we have and protect it. We don't need a world of nice guys. We need a world of good guys. So warriors, embracing the good guy mentality isn't just a choice. It's a commitment to stand for honor, integrity, compassion. A journey that shapes not just our lives, but influences those around us. So let's be warriors with hearts, fighting for justice, making a lasting positive impact. Troops, stay strong, stay true, and stay safe. And I will see you all in 2024. Remember, keep your stick on the ice.